Seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Baptism is a kind of a death to one life and the beginning of another. When I was in seminary, I had to do a summer of hospital chaplaincy, and so I chose to go to New England because I'd never lived there. And I went to Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center, which was a really, really great summer and a very great place to learn. And every weekend I went to a different place in New England, you know, and I guess I can't say I ever lived in New England because I didn't go through a winter, right? But has anybody here been to Newport, Rhode Island? Then a few of you know, when you go there, among the many things you can see is there are the so-called summer cottages of the ultra-wealthy of the 19th century, summer cottages. These are the biggest mansions in the United States. And people built them to show off, you know. Each one tried to outtop the other. Some of them look like Versailles. And they were built only for a season that lasts 6 to 8 weeks. I went there. One of the mansions, which is not on the water, but a huge thing, has a bunch of Benedictine nuns in it, where I prayed with them. They actually are an offshoot of the Benedictine sisters in Mount Angel, which is funny. I came all that way and found the office they pray up at the Abbey there in Rhode Island. It's hard to sing, so they were surprised that I knew it so well. But as I kept walking around, one of the places is called Marble House, and it's filled with, obviously, marble from all over the world. It's just an enormous place right on the water of the Atlantic Ocean. Next to it is a place called The Breakers. The Breakers is the largest of these mansions. It was built by Cornelius Vanderbilt in around the 1880s or 1890s, and it was he was the railroad tycoon, and he built this. It had 70 bedrooms, 66,000 square foot house. And how big is your house? I've never been in a 66,000 square foot house except that one. It was built. The previous house was built, had gone through a fire. And so Cornelius built this to last. He built it of granite, mostly granite, with marble from Italy and Africa and all the best that money could buy. This home cost $3 million to put up. And this is in 19th century money. It would cost you $150 million to put it up today. All of this for a home that's used for 6 to 8 weeks a year. And what do you do with your spare money? He built it to last. It's now in the National Park System. Unfortunately, Cornelius Vanderbilt was not built to last. 3 months after he put the Breakers up, Cornelius Vanderbilt died at the age of 55. Of a cerebral hemorrhage. And as beautiful as it all was, that has always haunted me a little bit. And I've never told that story before this weekend, but it's one of my favorites. I always think about that. You know, it's funny. I've mentioned this before. I didn't mention it at the other masses. My sister, who died in 1970, had a home in Los Angeles that her widower, my brother-in-law, sold for $33,000. It's come on the market again this week. It is worth $1.8 million. I'll tell you, if she wasn't dead, she would die when she heard that. I don't know what to do with this, but I've got the listing. If anybody wants to buy it, I can tell you what the house is like. It's got a pool in the back. she knew how to pick them, you know. It leaves us, that is a type, you know. All of us we're all looking for something. So many people, we're looking for happiness in the wrong places. We try, we strive, we want more. We're here, we're there, we travel, we purchase, we try to arrange our lives. Sometimes we try to show off a little bit, which is what was behind all those huge homes. And if your goal in life is to build a 66,000 square foot home, be my guest. Congratulations. I'd like to come for dinner and see it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go because it can't last. It's already passing away. I can't help but think of that house or my sister's without realizing how ephemeral is the nature of the things of this world. We are all in the process of dying, and baptism is all about dying to one life and rising to another. I baptized about 20 or 25 people last night, and I think about 40 or 50 came in the church. And the ones that were baptized, they went into the water as one person, and they came out as a new creation. And in the process of going into that water is a death to one life and the beginning of another, and the washing away of sins. And Christ calls us from the future. He wants us to strive for the things that last forever. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ appears, your inheritance will be there, never to pass away, not like the breakers. How futile it is to pile up one piece of marble after another in a place that we cannot stay. We live in a train station. It's foolish to build a home in a train station, but that's what we do, you know. We're all like that. I had another experience. We had three services on Good Friday, and I did the two evening ones, and one in English and one in Spanish. I always find Good Friday very moving. The self-emptying of Christ, you know. And I came home, and I was closing the drapes at 10 o'clock at night, and I noticed it, from my bedroom window, I can see the bar across the street, you know. And I noticed there were people coming out, you know. And I thought, what a way to spend Good Friday, huh? The person there, people there, they're looking to fill their emptiness in the wrong place. I'm not knocking drinkers. I'm saying that all of us are trying to fill that hole in our hearts. And it just won't be filled in this world. Even if we achieve the breakers, we can't hold on to it. Already, Easter is passing into the, it's going into the past even as I speak. And yet, Christ, you know, Christ was, by definition, as God, he had everything. You know, that's God. But the only thing he did not have was poverty, if you will. He became a human being, was born in a stable, lived in obscurity until 3 years of his end of his life. When he died, he was put in a rich man's grave. This was quite a grave, you know. Then as now, if you have a walk-in tomb with a walk-in cave complex tomb, you are really something. And this man not only had that, but he also had a door that went back and forth, that rolled. A poor man in that tomb. But when he came out 3 days later, the world was not the same place. We are called to live already in the world that is to come. We are people of hope. We live in a world today, particularly this year, last year, it becomes a place of hopelessness already. The things people put their hope on is already passing away, whether it's youth or wealth or travel or our homes or our lives or whatever it is we're striving for. Already these things are going. How can we put our hopes in such things? Easter is a place of great hope. Christ is standing in the future, you know. He's outside of time, but he calls through that door to any who will listen, come and follow me. I will give you something that lasts forever. Already we begin to see it with faith, as so many did last night when they came into the church. In order to see this great gift, we have to have a need. The only people who say no to this are not aware of the great poverty of their lives. Thank God that we have things that are missing. It makes us long for the world to come. I remember when my sister died for the last 40 years, I have thought there must be something more as that home increased in value, and I'd drive by it when I used to live in Los Angeles. And I thought, this did not last for her, and it will not last for me. I want something more. That's why I became a priest. What are you looking for? Christ offers us something that only grows in value over time. It does not wear away. It lasts forever. It does not look valuable to many people in this world. But in the end, it will be the one thing standing. And we have a piece of it. We are invested in it. It belongs to us. And if you, my friends, if you have faith in him, he who rose from the dead, you are rich indeed.